On this Christmas Eve, with the new year rapidly approaching, many are gathering to reflect on the past year and look towards the next. For her series, America at a Crossroads, our Judy Woodruff has been traveling around the country this year, talking with grassroots groups that are working on solutions to our nation's deepest divides. For her last piece of the year, she reports from New Hampshire on how some believe the answer to many of our challenges may begin right at home.
Winter has come again to New Hampshire, and with it, snow, ice, freezing temperatures, and the need for plenty of firewood to keep stoves roaring for the next several months. In the small town of Richmond, Tom Tagg spent many years chopping his own wood, but after receiving a pacemaker, now has to rely on others for help.
Most of my life I've been on the side where I'm serving and helping, and now I'm on the other side where sometimes I need help.
He found help from some volunteers from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Better with each one.
He's been a member for 40 years, including from 20-year-old Peter Brown, who's new to all of this. Brown says before joining the church this year, he struggled with loneliness.
Since I was in school, and I never really had any friends, to be honest. I mean, there was a generic friend where I would wave and say hi in the classroom, but when school was over, you know, there's no really ever opportunity for me to get to know someone.
Through the church and its service projects like this one, he says he's found new community and purpose.
It makes me feel like I'm, you know, I'm valued, I'm able to help others, and I'm able to just be myself. I'm able to be outdoors and talk to some people that I wouldn't normally have been before. I probably would be playing some sort of video game, but you know, this really opens you up to others, I guess. It might make me emotional, but you know, I'm happy to have these people to support me.
As human beings, one of our deepest needs is to feel a sense of belonging.
Shaylin Romney Garrett belongs to the same church in Keene.
And when we don't have that sense of belonging, our nervous system is literally on fire. We are vulnerable to extreme views and to extreme behaviors because we feel so unsafe. And I really think that that's what's happening in America. We have so many people who just don't feel that their basic need for connection is being met.
A writer and speaker, Garrett co-wrote the 2020 book, The Upswing, with political scientist Robert Putnam, featured in our first Crossroads report this year. That book described the many parallels between our own time and the Gilded Age, that late 19th century period marked by technological change, an industrial revolution, widespread dislocation, growing inequality, and political corruption, and tells how those earlier Americans found their way out of those challenges. Putnam told us in February that he had assumed the economy would change first.
The one thing that the data show is that's not true. Economics was the last thing to change. So then what was the first thing to change? And to my shock, it was cultural change. It was a moral revival, is the way I want to put it. People began to say, wait a minute, it's not all about us. We have obligations to other people.
We've spent much of this past year examining so-called bridging groups, which attempt to connect people from across lines of division to try to rebuild civic health. As the year closes, we wanted to ask Garrett whether she sees the kind of cultural change she and Putnam think is needed.
One of the things that I see when I look at a lot of the bridging initiatives that are out there is that they're really these sort of head-centered exercises. First of all, they have this way of foregrounding political identity as if it's defining. So we say we need to bridge Republicans with Democrats. But I wonder if we're really hitting people in the heart, if we're actually changing their feelings toward other people. Because so much of the political violence, so much of the sort of extreme end of this polarization is about the way we're behaving toward one another, the sort of dehumanization of the other side. And so I've begun to wonder, as I've thought and watched this over time, are we doing enough to help people have a morally formative experience when they're interacting with someone who's unlike themselves, rather than just an intellectual exercise to try and find sort of ideological common ground?
And what does it take to address the moral piece of this, the heart?
One of the things that we need to be able to do is give people experiences that help them feel genuine unity and genuine camaraderie with people in ways that have nothing to do with politics. And that's why, for me, I've really started to lean into those kinds of communities that I can find right outside my doorstep, instead of saying, okay, I need to seek out someone who's of a different political stripe. Let's just leave politics out of the conversation entirely and approach each other as human beings who are engaged in trying to get by in the world, who all have problems, who have ways to relate to one another on a human level. And I think finding ways to serve one another and really be in relationship on a much more human level is what we need more of.
Garrett says that rather than looking to new groups and institutions to help us out of this multifaceted crisis, groups that often depend on philanthropic dollars, which are now in greater demand due to government cuts to programs, people should look to themselves, to their neighbors, and to their own communities to figure out how they can give back.
We have to teach our children that succeeding is not just about maximizing economic interest, that succeeding is about creating communities that thrive, which means giving, serving, thinking about something bigger than myself. We're not doing enough of that.
At the LDS church that evening, Brattleboro, Vermont resident Carol Buffum joined a women's group for food and conversation.
We had your granddaughter a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
To help pack hygiene kits for the homeless and for an ornament swap. A tradition here.
Nutcracker. Don't look too closely.
Like Peter Brown, Carol joined the church this year after struggling for many other years with loneliness and isolation. In her case, following an infection that altered her appearance.
I didn't leave my house for 5 years. After my staph infection that I got, people looked at me different. They pointed, they whispered. And it bothered me a lot. And then I met the missionaries and a couple other people too helped, but they said, Carol, you know, don't hide behind your mask, because I wore the mask for years. And then COVID happened. And then everybody was. So I was just like everyone else. And then I went back outside and I saw it wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
She says she's so grateful for the community she's found here. She wants to bring that sense of connection back to her apartment building to help others who might be struggling.
I have a community room in my building, and it's free to all of us tenants. And I've been talking about starting up a group for people to just come and talk. It's just something to start. If we don't do something, it's not going to get better. And I just want to make it better.
The point, Shaylin Romney Garrett says, is not that everyone needs to join the Mormon church or even a church, but it's an example of a mutual aid network that already exists and strengthens the bonds of community, alongside things like neighborhood associations and schools, bonds that override our differences.
You have much left of your school this semester?
And at this time of year, the darkest in our hemisphere, helping people like Carol and Peter find the light.
If you're one of the majority of Americans who don't know your neighbor, why don't you start by going and meet your neighbor? Introduce yourself. Ask them if there's anything that you can do for them. You might find that living on your block, you have an elderly woman who doesn't have any family support. You might find that you have a 20-something young man who spends most of his time in the basement playing video games. What can you do as a neighbor to address those things? I don't think we need to wait for a church to tell us that we should do that. I can actually just ask myself, what kind of world do I want to live in? And how do I enact that right now with the person across the street?
As we look to another year when our country marks 250 years since the Declaration of Independence, I'll continue to report on how those original ideals are measuring up to our present and how we might continue our search for a more perfect union. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Judy Woodruff in Keene, New Hampshire.